Welcome to the Human Capital Innovations Podcast, your go-to source for personal, professional, and organizational growth and development. We hope you tune in often for all things people management, organizational development and change, organizational leadership, and social impact related. Maximize your personal and organizational potential with Human Capital Innovations Podcast. Welcome to the Human Capital Innovations Podcast. In this HCI podcast episode, I talk with Bill Lyons about transformational HR as an investment in our people and organizational culture. Bill Lyons, welcome to the Human Capital Innovations Podcast.
Good to be with you, John.
Yeah, it's great to have you as a guest today. I'm super excited to have this conversation. We're going to be exploring something that's near and dear to my heart, and that is really the transformation of HR over time. We'll talk a little bit about the history of HR and really how it's evolved into more of a strategic key player within organizations. So we're going to be talking about transformational HR and HR as an investment in our people and our organizational cultures. And I know you have a lot of background and experience in this area, so I'm super thrilled to have the opportunity to have that conversation with you today. As we get started, I wanted to share Bill's bio. Bill Lyons, the Forbes Books author of We Are HR, The Business Owner's Definitive Guide to Professional Employer Organizations, is the CEO of Lyons HR, one of the largest privately held professional employer organizations in the country. Lyons has more than three decades of experience and has helped hundreds of businesses drive performance, control HR and labor costs, increase profitability, and mitigate employment liabilities. Before starting Lyons HR prior to 1995, he held positions in accounting and finance for both private and publicly held companies. Again, Bill, it is a pleasure to have you. Thank you for joining me today. Before we launch into the conversation, anything else you would like to share with listeners by way of background or personal context, just to get us rolling?
Yeah, sure. Well, we started the company in 1995, and I guess prior to starting the company, it had been my observation that companies are going to thrive or fail based on how effective their human resource programs are. Let's face it, our companies are made or broken by our employees and the people that we surround ourselves with. So as we started our company, it was a passion of mine to be involved in human resources and maximizing productivity. And I came to HR from an accounting and finance background, having worked as a controller and a CFO for a couple of different businesses before starting Lyons HR. It gave me a unique perspective to see the financial impact that effective HR management can have on an organization.
Yeah, that's great. And I appreciate the background. And as we were talking in the pre-interview before hitting record, just getting to know each other a little bit and discussing kind of the nature of how this episode would evolve, we had discussed the shifting nature of HR over time. So I'm 20 years into this. I went through my schooling in the early 2000s, got my first HR job in the early 2000s, and have moved forward. So I've seen quite a bit of transformation just in the last decade and a half, 2 decades. Mm-hmm. But I suspect you've seen even more, given your long experience. Tell us a little bit, paint the picture for listeners who may not be aware of kind of where things were in the 80s, 90s, and how they shifted in the 2000s into the 2010s, and now where we're at today, moving into the future of work and needing HR to play a certain role. And then we can get into talking about, are we there yet? What do we need to do to get to that point and go down that path?
I think it is a constantly evolving discipline. But as you say, HR management today is not the old personnel department from 40 or 50 years ago. Back in the old days, we used to call it personnel. Now, it evolved from a personnel department to a human resource, which is really a strategic discipline in and of itself, just as long or risk or benefits or any of these other areas. And so you know, in the old days, HR was, or rather personnel, as it was called in those days, was responsible for hiring, firing, and maintaining employee records. And that was about it. But over the past, let's say, 30 to 40 years, you've seen an increasing complexity to HR as a discipline. And I think it has rightfully so deserved a place at the executive C-suite table, because it has such an impact on profitability of an organization. You know, I think all of that, you know, you talk about culture, you know, we talked a little bit about that before we went live. And I think the culture of an organization starts at the top and it permeates throughout the organization. And so that starts with a core list of values that drive the company and everything that they do. Violation of those core values is not something that can be considered. And as long as those values are being protected, and if they're correctly defined, then they can drive a very positive culture. So, you know, I think it all begins with, you know, a business owner. And again, I'm talking about the smaller business owners. It's true of CEOs as well, of large organizations, but a small business owner who maps out a good vision for his company. What are we trying to accomplish? Who are we? Why are we in this business? What is the desired outcome for what we're trying to do? That's a critical first step, defining that vision, and not only defining it properly, but making certain that it is communicated frequently and effectively throughout the organization. We put our mission statement on the walls in our office buildings. We put our values around that because it's all in support of the same thing. So that's a critical, to me, first step. Then secondly is building a strong and effective team that is going to understand not only the vision and the mission, but be aligned with it. Part of our recruiting efforts center around locating people who are similarly engaged and who are aligned with our way of thinking. That is, they are a good cultural fit, because one of the worst things you can do is bring someone into an organization that's going to have a toxic impact, that's going to drive productivity down, or possibly even drive good folks away. And so secondly is good team building. And then third, and probably the most important thing that a business owner and CEO does, is drive a positive culture within the organization. Again, the vision goes first, second, followed by team building, and then third, creating the culture that keeps people there, keeps people engaged. You know, culture will dictate behavior when nobody's watching. And so it's the kind of things that we really want to stress at our company. And it's a key fundamental part of just about any business that is successful. You know, Peter Drucker used to say that culture eats strategy for breakfast. I think he's the one that coined that phrase several years ago. And the idea behind that is that if you have the right culture in place, good people are going to find a way to solve just about any problem that you find yourself in. And so it's a key part of any successful business to make it a strategic initiative, because culture is going to develop no matter what. So if you don't make it a strategic initiative, then it's going to develop on its own. And it's not likely to be what you want it to be if it develops on its own. So you have to make it a priority. And that's part of, you know, my daily responsibility. I ask myself all the time, what can I do to make this company a better place to work? What can I do to make this the best job my employees have ever had, so they never want to go anywhere else? Because we all know the cost of turnover is huge. I mean, Society of Human Resource Management estimates the cost of a single employee turnover to be between 6 and 9 months of that person's salary. So if you take a $60,000 per year person, for example, that's $5,000 a month. You lose that person, it costs you between $30,000 and $45,000 just in the cost of replacing that person, not counting the cost of lost productivity, not counting the cost associated with morale and the disruption of the business that person's departure creates. And so when you think about that, it just makes a lot of sense for you to focus on culture, retaining your people, getting the right people in the right roles to begin with, but then fostering the type of culture that's going to make them happy and productive. Yeah. Happy employees are going to create profitable companies.
Yeah, well, there's so much you said there that I love. And I think we are two peas in a pod in terms of our framing and understanding of the importance of people issues within mm-hmm. organization. I appreciate as well your background in talking about the runway for HR as a discipline, as a functional area within a business, a successful business. And it did start as something very, very different than what it is today. And I think about the difference between transactional HR, those are the things you talked about in the early personnel departments. And some of that still has to occur, but largely a lot of those transactional pieces, we have HR information systems and other technologies that can do a lot of that and manage a lot of that for organizations. Mm-hmm. What we've seen though over time is that HR has become more, well, I should say successful HR, meaningful and impactful HR has become more strategic in nature. It's become what we often call or refer to as transformational HR. Mm-hmm. In that approach, we're focusing on exactly the types of issues you were just describing within the organization. So it's not just enough to be the ones, you know, making sure everyone fills out their I-9 correctly and everyone, you know, does, you know, checks the box for employee onboarding and you do all these things. Those things are still important. We still need to make sure those things happen, but HR can and should be so much more than that. And it comes back to the values and establishing a clear strategic vision for the organization, the values that support it, building the team, moving into all the other aspects that you were just discussing. And it's not easy to do. And that's why so many organizations, especially smaller to mid-sized organizations, they tend to still kind of have a mindset around HR as this personnel function, as opposed to this strategic player. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a huge opportunity as we move further into this decade, you know, as we get post-COVID, that we have an opportunity to reinvest in HR as a transformational function that allows us to invest in our people in a way that we can get the most out of them. That's good for our people. That's good for the organization because we're empowering our people to be their best selves, to develop their skills and competencies and capabilities. Ultimately, that's good for them in their career, but it also helps our teams to be stronger, more innovative, more productive, and is a win-win all the way around.
You talked about the small business owner and how they tend to be very focused on the short-term immediacy of the task at hand. That is expense management and staying out of trouble. I want to comply with the laws and the regulations that I have to be responsible for, whether that's strategic in nature or that's just trying to be protected and defensive in nature. That's they're focused on that, and they're focused on the immediate expenses that are staring them in the face. What is my cost for my health insurance renewal? How much am I paying for workers' compensation insurance? What's my state unemployment tax rate? These are the immediate things. And so the important thing is to get business owners to realize the exponential value that comes with expanding their view, not only of those short-term expense items, but thinking about the strategic areas in which HR can drive profitability. I look at a well-crafted HR strategy as falling into really four key areas, which I think are important to understand. Number one is asset protection, making sure that you're not violating any DOL laws, making sure that your job descriptions are accurate and compliant, making sure that your handbooks are up to date and current and don't violate any current laws. We all know that the employment laws evolve, they change. There are new regulations being issued by the Department of Labor on a very regular basis. So asset protection, all the things that you do to make sure that your company is protected from litigation, is in a defendable position if something were to happen, is key. Second is expense management. The things that we as HR professionals have to spend money on in order to just be in HR. Process and payroll, we have to do that. We have to provide workers' comp insurance. What are our premiums gonna cost us this year? We have to provide some form of benefit plans the best we can for the lowest premium. Those are the short-term expenses. And those are two areas that most small business owners focus their attention on. So let's expand that and let's think about a third and fourth category.
I'm excited to announce the publication of my new book from HCI Press, The Alchemy of Truly Remarkable Leadership.
ordinary, everyday actions that produce extraordinary results. Consider how the nature of work has shifted over the past 50 years. With increased globalization, rapid technological advancement, and the shift in economic composition, the average job of today looks very different than the average job of 50 years ago. What will the jobs and organizations of tomorrow look like? Moreover, what does this all mean for organizational leaders? What are the core competencies and capabilities of organizations and their leadership that are prepared for continued disruption and geopolitical and socioeconomic shifts? Regardless of what the future holds, increasingly, leaders need to be socially minded, data-driven, decisive, champions of talent, and disruptors of the traditional notions of leadership, teams, organizations, and work. The alchemy of truly remarkable leadership will help you to explore your own leadership competencies and capabilities and consider ways to apply and implement them into your workplace and personal life.
The third category being cost containment. Now, what's the difference in cost containment and expense management? Cost containment are those long-term strategies. Those are the things that we can do that impact our long-term cost structure. So let's take, for example, a safety program. Okay, our workers' comp premiums are what they are this year because of how we behaved in the past. Okay, so if we can today implement safety programs, and again, if you're in a manufacturing environment or in an environment with moving machinery, you have a higher degree of risk. But let's just say that we can improve our safety atmosphere with a strong and effective safety program. That will have an impact on our bottom line for years to come. Let's suppose that we can implement an employee wellness and EAP program that's going to make our employees healthier, better adjusted, that's going to improve their personal lives so that when they come to work, they're going to become much more productive and much more engaged in what they're doing. Those are the cost containment strategies that have not just an effect this year and next year, but for a longer period of time. And then finally, what are the things that we in HR can do to enhance employee productivity across multiple spectrums? How do we leverage technology to improve how well we produce our product or service? How can we improve communications throughout the organization so that everyone is on the same page? Are there some things that we're doing that should reasonably be outsourced because it's not our core competency? And is there a more effective way to get this particular thing done and get it off our plate and get it onto the plate of someone else at a better cost? And then probably most importantly in this area of productivity is a professional training and professional development program for our people. How do we make our people better? How do we improve their lives personally and professionally? So if we can get ourselves to look at all four of these areas, not just, the asset protection areas where the do's and the don'ts of the legal world, not just expense management, the things that we have to do in the here and now, but let's think about these other two categories where we are containing cost over a span of time, and we are also improving productivity of our people and our organizations through HR systemization, through increased technology, through improved communications, and through potentially outsourcing certain things that are not in our core competency. The reason that small businesses do not focus on these other two areas that I talk about, cost containment and employee productivity, is because the payback is not immediate, and because it takes time for an effective HR strategy to provide the return on investment that the small business owner likes to see. Okay, if I can move my health insurance from company A to company B and save 20%, that's immediate. And that is assuming all the features of the programs are the same, that's a fairly easy decision to make. But if you're asking me to invest a couple of $100,000 into an HRIS system that's going to improve my communications throughout my organization, is going to help me better track and document my employees and their professional development. It's going to help me track a number of other things that are going to help me contain cost. I'm not going to see a return on that investment for probably 2 years or more. And so because these strategic initiatives have a longer payback, it is much more difficult to see the small business owner adopt these, which is one of the reasons we as professional employer organizations bring that expertise to our clients almost from day one. Is one of the reasons that our industry is growing the way it is because we bring those type things to a business owner so that he can see a more immediate return on those dollars that he's spending.
Yeah. Everything you said is exactly right. And as you were laying out those different options, it again reminded me of the difference between kind of the old school transactional HR approach versus a more strategic transformational approach. And it also reminded me, like, sometimes I think HR gets a bit of a bad rap because it's seen as kind of the touchy-feely, you know, feel good area of business because you just want everyone to be happy all the time. Mm-hmm. And while there's absolutely a human case to be made for everything we're talking about in terms of investing in your people, valuing and respecting and honoring the dignity of each individual employee in the organization, there's a clear human case to be made for all of that. But we can boil it down to a very clear business case as well. They go hand in hand. They're not mutually exclusive. So we can do right by our people. We can treat them well with dignity and respect, value them, show them that they mean something to the organization, which will increase engagement and retention and all of those sorts of things, while also remembering that return on investment is very important in making business decisions. And ultimately, we want to have evidence that not only can we see, you know, short-term gains from these investments, but also, like you said, there will be long-term positive ramifications of what we're doing if we can sustain them and see them through. And that's the piece that a lot of times small to medium-sized businesses or even large companies that just kind of have people in leadership positions that are kind of old school in their thinking. That's one of the reasons why we see this hesitancy of many organizations to really embrace the real potential and possibilities that strategic HR has as a functional area, as a discipline for them. You just laid out several other types of benefits that can help with this cost containment approach. I'm wondering what you also see as other trends in the types of benefits employees are wanting to see, expecting to see as we move further, you know, particularly post-pandemic, as we move further into this decade.
The workplace is evolving. It always has, always will. And as we see more baby boomers retire and the emergence of Gen X and millennials into the workplace, you know, they have a different value system in terms of what they're looking for in their careers. You know, my parents' generation used to go to work for one company and maybe work there for 40 years and retire. You know, my generation has tended to, I'm in the baby boomer generation, they tend to, you know, move around where the opportunity is to maximize their earnings potential and advance their careers. The millennials and the Gen X folks are all about the workplace experience. They're all about flexibility. They're very tech savvy. They're very much interested in what's the latest trend that's coming down the pike. There are things that are going to be a part of the workforce as a result of the pandemic that I think are here to stay. I think you're going to see more and more companies relying on remote work, flexible working alternatives. Particularly as competition for skilled labor positions becomes more and more intense. I think those employees who value their independence and being able to work remotely, either part of a team or being able to work remotely, I think those are trends that are likely to continue. The other kind of benefits you're seeing are reliance on things like employee assistance programs. You're seeing an increase in those type things because with the pandemic has brought with it a lot of personal stress. It's brought with it a lot of things that affect our folks psychologically, and companies are implementing programs to help combat that, you know, help them deal with financial struggles in their personal life, helping them deal with maybe a legal issue that has cropped up in their life as a result of being out of work or being quarantine for an extended period of time. You know, we've unfortunately had, seen an increase in addiction issues and people needing substance abuse counseling, not necessarily as a result of the pandemic, although the pandemic has seen an increase in those type statistics. But I think companies looking at the overall well-being of their people, not just the well-being from the time they get to the workplace to the time they leave, but their entire lives, I think is a trend that's likely to continue. The increased utilization of technology over the last year has been something that has really fascinated me. You have seen the digitization of our society that has been increased by 5 years, probably because of what we've gone through with the pandemic. Before the pandemic, we had video conferencing capabilities, but we relied on it almost exclusively during about a 4-month period of time when we were all scattered and working from home. And now it's become a part of our everyday working style. And in fact, sometimes we prefer the video conferencing technology that's available. And I think even smaller companies are beginning to rely some on that, not only to communicate with their employees, but with their customers. The entire sales and marketing approach to growing a business, particularly in service businesses, has changed because of the lack of person-to-person interaction that we're seeing. And I think how long did it take you to get used to wearing a mask? I mean, that was a very odd thing for us to introduce in our lives. And now it's very common to see everyone wearing a mask when you're out. And I think some of these other things will become more mainstream as time moves on. I'm asked the question often about, what is normal going to look like? I don't know that anybody can truly answer that. I think that is a dynamic that is in transition as we speak. And hopefully when we get beyond all of the mandates and the restrictions are lifted, that will come into focus for us. But right now, I think there are some trends that are emerging and we see those, but there are some other things that we probably can't know until we get a little bit further down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't have a crystal ball. We can see some trends and we can, I think, reasonably predict how things will at least be in the immediate future following, things loosening up a bit. And I agree with your assessment. Bill, it has been a real pleasure talking with you. The time has flown by. I really appreciate all of the insights you've shared with the listeners today. Before we close, I wanted to give you a chance to share with listeners how they can get connected with you, find out more about your recent book and anything else you would like to say by way of just wrapping up the episode.
Okay, great. Thank you. I've just completed my first book, and it is entitled We Are HR, The Small Business Owner's Definitive Guide to Professional Employer Organizations. Lions HR is a professional employer organization, or PEO, and I do believe there is a tremendous value that is provided to clients through a PEO relationship, and that's described and dissected in great detail within the book. It can be purchased on Amazon, and I would encourage anybody who has ever been curious about PEOs, or if you've ever thought, is there a better way to manage my human resource responsibilities and get all of this stuff off of my plate and outsource that to a team of experts who know what they're doing in this area? If you've ever wondered if that's for you, I would recommend reading the book. It's a very light read. You can probably get through it in about 3 hours if you sit and read steadily right through it. And I think it does educate and inform, and I hope that people will take an opportunity to look at it. My website is billjlyons.com, and my company is Lyons HR. We're at lyonshr.com, and I would invite anybody who's curious about PEOs are wondering how they might be able to improve efficiencies within their workplace to give us a look.
Wonderful. Thank you, Bill. It has been a pleasure. I include listeners to reach out, get connected with Bill, find out more about what his organization can do for you, and check out his book. And as always, I hope everyone can stay healthy and safe, that you can find meaning and purpose at work each and every day. And I hope you all have a great week.
we are excited about the launch of HCI's new magazine, Human Capital Leadership. Human Capital Leadership is a free, interactive e-magazine designed to help individuals, leaders, and organizations find innovative approaches to maximize their human capital potential. We will be publishing issues quarterly in August, November, February, and May. Check out the first issue and let us know what you think. Thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Human Capital Innovations Podcast. I hope you stay healthy and safe, and that you have a great week.